Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, going to read from verse 39. This is on page 1026. So immediately preceding the reading, the angel Gabriel visits Mary to tell her that she's going to become pregnant and give birth to a son, and she is to give him the name Jesus. So Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. In these last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been reflecting particularly on Mary's experience and the anticipation of the birth of Jesus. Last week we reflected on hope and Jesus as the child of hopefulness. Today we're going to reflect on salvation and Jesus as the child of salvation. And a good question to ask and for us to reflect upon is, what is salvation? What does it mean when we say, "I am saved," or "I have been saved"? What does that mean in practical, down-to-earth terms? What does it mean that Jesus brings salvation? How large or small is the salvation that Jesus brings? And so to some degree, that's what we're going to be reflecting upon today as we think about Jesus as the child of salvation. But I want to note, the first thing I want to note is that this salvation is about Jesus as the King. It is about Jesus as the King. Now, last week I read from Isaiah 9 and then flicked you forward to Luke 1. Today, if you've got your finger in Luke 1, I want you to flick back to Isaiah 9. I'll give you a page number in 2 seconds. It's on page 694. Page 694. Now, this salvation begins with a recognition that Jesus is King. When Isaiah speaks his prophecy, in some way being deeply, profoundly aware that God is going to transform the world. He speaks in verse 6 of Isaiah 9, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." Isaiah is speaking about a king, one who will come and be king. When the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and speaks to Mary, even though Mary is almost disbelieving of what Gabriel says, Gabriel says, "Your son will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever." Salvation begins with an awareness that Jesus, the one who brings salvation, is king. He is not subservient to anyone else. He is king and Lord over all. We can have confidence in the salvation that Jesus brings precisely because he is king. And that was the confidence that Isaiah had, that Gabriel could speak about, that Mary could sing about, that Jesus is the king. But this salvation is not simply about a king. Now I say that because it is possible to be a king, to be a queen, to be a prime minister, to be a president, to be a ruler, and not actually to have much influence. Isn't that right? You can have the title, you can be known as king, lord, whatever it is, and not have much influence. And yet, the prophet Isaiah, Gabriel, Mary, their understanding of this salvation that comes with Jesus is centered upon Jesus as king, but is also rooted in the life of his kingdom. Isaiah says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders." And then says, "He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Forever. Two simple words. Salvation comes with the king, but it is rooted in also in the life of his kingdom. The influence of Jesus is not intended to be just for a few who recognize his kingship. Salvation that Jesus as king brings is to spread as his kingdom spreads, as the works of God are done day after day after day. Now, I've referred you to Isaiah 9. Do you want to turn to another passage? Go back a couple of pages, Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7, verse 14. A sign. This is just 692 is the page number. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." And we know Emmanuel means God with us, or God is with us. Salvation is rooted in the king and his kingdom, and it rests on God being with us. God is with us. The assurance again, Isaiah brings it, Gabriel brings it to Mary. Mary celebrates this reality. God is with us. His salvation in his kingdom. He says he will be the Wonderful Counselor. I don't know how many of you have ever been to see a counselor. You don't have to admit it or say it. Been to a therapist. But Jesus is referred to as a Wonderful Counselor. That's why I use this word, wise. His kingdom, this salvation that Jesus brings, is a wise kingdom and a wise salvation. All the decisions that Jesus makes for us and inspires us to are wise. They're not just good ideas. And we might struggle sometimes with that. but they are wise. They have a long-term perspective in view. God, in his salvation, is preparing us for a lifetime of service. All of God's decisions for us in Christ are wise. And then we are told that this kingdom will be strong and secure. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Be a mighty God, speaking about the strength and security of the kingdom of God and the salvation that he brings. And then he says he will be the everlasting Father, the loving Father. This will be also be at the heart of his salvation and his kingdom. The loving Father, everlasting Father, forever and ever. And then the Prince of Peace. There will be peace and wholeness in his kingdom and in his salvation. And the last thing I want to note just here is he will be faithful. Those very last words that we read of that passage in Isaiah 9, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever think or imagine. And God is faithful to complete his salvation through his kingdom. Now, I asked at the beginning, what is the extent of the salvation that is brought to us, that is anticipated at Christmas? What do we think is the extent of the salvation that is announced in Jesus, the King, and his kingdom by Isaiah? The message that is brought by Gabriel to Mary. What is the extent of this salvation? When Mary celebrates this salvation that will come with Jesus, her son, what is the extent of this salvation? Now, I don't know about you, but I was brought up in a tradition, as you know, I've said before, and many of you will be aware, I was brought up within a tradition whereby I was taught that salvation was about saving my soul to go to heaven when I die. Any nods on that? Saving my soul to go to heaven when I die. And I remember, I mean, I appreciated that, I welcomed that, I believed I needed to be saved, I believed I needed to confess my sin and to be saved by God. I wanted to go to heaven when I die. I thought, well, I want to avoid the alternative. And the alternative was spelt out in no uncertain terms. If I did not confess my sin, if I did not know salvation of my soul, then I would die and burn in hell forever. And that was clearly put out. But I remember somebody saying, and just in a semi-joking way, that what we're often taught is pie in the sky when we die, by and by. But how about cake on our plate while we wait? I always remember that. What we've often taught is pie in the sky when we die. Something we're looking forward to one day. But what about the here and now? What is the extent of the salvation that is offered to us in the Lord Jesus, in the King and his kingdom? What is the extent of the salvation that is brought to us by the God who is Emmanuel, God with us? What is the extent of the salvation that is brought to us that is wise, that is strong and secure, that is headed by a loving Father that brings to us peace and wholeness, that is faithful to us? And when Mary sings her song, it says in verse 46 of Luke chapter 1, Mary said, I like to think that she sang out this song, my soul glorifies the Lord. She speaks or sings as if what she speaks and sings about is already true. Verse 51, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud. He has brought down rulers from their throne, but lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. the salvation that Mary is speaking about is practical, everyday salvation. A difference, a transformation that is made in the lives of people that she is aware of. Mary is not speaking about the salvation of her soul when she dies one day. She's speaking about experiencing a salvation in the here and now. Do we get that? Mary is speaking about a salvation in the here and now, and in the future, but in the here and now. The anticipation from Mary is that Jesus, the child of salvation, will bring salvation in the here and now. Now, we should not be surprised by what I'm saying. Now, we may be surprised if we have been so embedded and so rooted in what I mentioned a few moments ago, that salvation is about the salvation of our souls when we die. If it may be that that is so rooted in us that we find it difficult to think of salvation in any other terms. But we should not be surprised by what I've just said, that Mary anticipates salvation in some form in the here and now. The Lord Jesus goes to a synagogue in Nazareth, and on the Sabbath day he stands up and reads from the scroll for that day. And the scroll for that day is a reading from Isaiah 61. And you're familiar with this. And Jesus speaks of the salvation that he brings. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We should not be surprised when I say that Mary anticipated salvation in the here and now, because that's precisely what Jesus announces when he stands up in the synagogue in Nazareth. Good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, setting the oppressed free, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. Salvation in the here and now. And even as I say this, I wonder how this resonates. It may be that for all of us, we think, yeah, that's completely normal. Of course, it's true. But I want to encourage each one of us to understand that the salvation that Jesus brings, a salvation that is rooted in Jesus as King and his kingdom, whereby Jesus is faithful in his kingdom, a kingdom where God is with us, a kingdom where the rule is wise, it's strong and secure, headed by a loving Father, which is peaceful and wholeness, and is full of wholeness. It is faithful. It is salvation in the here and now, as well as in the future. And it seems to me, if we do not experience salvation in the here and now, I think we're missing what Jesus brings to us. It may be challenging, but I want to encourage us to continue to think on this theme. Jesus brings salvation in the here and now. And we're going to pause and pray right here. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You are our Saviour. You are the one who comes to save. You are the one who comes to save us in the here and now, and also for the future. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you come as the one who will save us and be faithful to your promise to save us, to transform us in the here and now, to save us from our sins and our wrong ways, that we might experience life in all its fullness in the here and now. Lord Jesus, pour out your Holy Spirit, that the truth and reality of your good salvation might be experienced by us. And inspire us, Lord Jesus, inspire us to see ways in which we can enact your salvation for others, that others might experience life and peace and love and faithfulness and wisdom through our actions, our lives, and our words. So may your blessing rest on us as we seek to live in your kingdom. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.